Hi, everyone. So we have another mini session for you with the team from Mulgee Creative. Joining us today is two members of our design team. We have Jason Arthur and Dan Miller. Jason and Dan are both very talented graphic design specialists, graphic designers, artists, illustrators, animators. They can do all kinds of really cool stuff. We've worked together on lots of really interesting projects. Big clients, small clients, creating everything from digital assets, brand identity, signage, and all kinds of fun stuff. So today we want to talk a little bit about the importance of elements of graphic design to your brand identity, but also how that connects to marketing and why it's so important to pay attention to the visual piece. So we know that visuals are important in general, right? Like a beautiful photo or a really interesting animation is going to capture your attention first and really pull your marketing initiative and get that customer's eye, but there's a little more to it. So we're breaking it down for you, but we're still keeping it pretty simple. So we have some key takeaways that we'll share at the very end. Usually when you're thinking about a visual element, right, you want to see where you are first. You want to take stock of where your customers are. Where is your product sit in the market? What are you trying to say? All of the things that, you're looking for is, it works well if you have a nice groundwork set up. So you want to see how they buy, where do they live, how are they visiting your site? You check out analytics, site traffic, all that good stuff. Create that blueprint. And then you are able to create a really interesting story using visual elements and really being able to have a better impact with storytelling in a more visual way. So that's just a really high level perspective, but you don't know how to move forward if you don't know where you are. It's simple as that. All right, so going to the next section, how does good and bad graphic design impact your brand, right? So to start things out, Jason, why don't you take this one? Tell us a little more about what you're thinking here.
Less can be more, about less can be more, or simplicity is key. You know, moving forward with all graphic work, a simple message is the best message, always. And the best way you can get to that is be clear on who your audience is. Who are you trying to target? It kind of builds itself when you're working on a target, or you're working on a design theme or branding. What's your simplest message? How can you boil it down to 7 words? These are all keys that will help you figure out what is the essence of your message. And since branding and marketing and advertising is all storytelling, you want to be able to tell the best story. Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of right off the top of my head.
So what would you say that, you know, as a graphic designer for many years, right, and working with agencies and individual clients and brands, what's something you would say that you've seen a lot of your customers come forward with, maybe like a positive thing and a negative thing when you're first being approached at the beginning of the project, you know, understanding where they're at and what their positioning is? What are two things in terms of graphic design that you see customers asking for, but maybe they shouldn't be, and then some things are missing out on? Maybe one of each.
You know, I don't know if I actually get something where people are asking for something that they shouldn't be asking for, because let's face it, everybody comes in with their creativity or their story, or everybody has a nuance or a special thing about their company or their vision that is unique to them, that is going to totally override some of the rules that you know you shouldn't be overriding. But sometimes, let's face it, when you bend the rules, break the rules, that can be some amazing creative. That can be a message that really takes off. And you would have been the first person to go, oh, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good idea. I think the thing that is probably the big problem, or a bigger problem, is when people come in and they have absolutely no idea of what they want. And they're like, you know, I'm just a blank piece of paper, and you're my artist. You're going to create everything. And it's like, this is your project. This is your vision. I'm only going to help you tell your story. So you have to give me an understanding of what your story is in order for me to enhance it. Or what are the champion moments of your story? What are the hero moments of your story? What are the, what, you know, what is your product? What is the best thing about your product? What makes your product or your vision better than your competition? Truly, not just your, your opinion of, we're great and I'm great and it's great. My grandma said, you don't want something along that line. You want, what's at the heart of your story? What is uniquely and great about your product? And you really can boil it down to something very simple. We help people because we care. It could be a simple message like that. From there, then you can bring on the creative or another way of trying to say it. And then, but a cool thing about that is that you ask why. Why is your message that way? And in asking that, you find out what makes you different from your competition. And so then that allows you to go into a more focused message that's uniquely the client. Because I literally have had clients that have come in one door and they said, whatever we do, don't use white. And it's like, okay. And then you have another client that comes in and it's like, absolutely, I want nothing but black. And it's like, okay. And it's not just a matter of, I'm not trying to say the customer is always right. Everybody's unique story is their unique thing. Creativity, in my understanding, can be a very fragile thing. What's the story ahead? I love the story about McDonald's, and forgive me if I go on a tangent here. The story about McDonald's, you deserve a break today. In the very beginning, the pitch meeting with Keith Reinhardt, I believe it was. He was telling me how in the meeting when they were talking about, we want to go with some of the message, and they were like, it's like, you deserve a break today. And we know how long that message went for such a long time. But in the pitch meeting, there were a bunch of guys in there going, I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. You deserve a break today? Who deserves the break? Who are we talking to? And in that very moment, he was saying how, he realized when he was pitching that concept that it was possibly going to get popped and he was going to have to come up with another idea. And I don't remember exactly who it was that decided, I think there is something there. And they went move forward with it. And a simple sentence, you deserve a break today, went on to be one of the most notorious and famous catch lines in marketing and advertising history. So, creativity is a fragile thing, and you have to be able to move forward with it carefully, but you don't want to break that idea with collateral from a previous client or another pitch meeting or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think being honest with yourself is how your message is going out in what medium. So you have that short catchphrase, everybody, you deserve a break today, but, because somebody might be driving by on the highway on a billboard, or they're just seeing it on a subway ad, or a real quick glance on a TV commercial. That's why simplicity is key, because you need a catch-all statement, but then, nobody's sitting down and reading a full-fledged pamphlet of the rest of your details and right. Most of the materials you're putting out there. You're going to be directing people to teasing them to find out more, to go to your website where you have your full, story, but all the ad stuff is going to be the simple stuff.
Got it. You have to give them a taste.
Right. That's a great thing. I think that's one of the things I've also dealt with clients is that, they want to say everything up front because they're afraid that someone's going to ask the question and that that you're not going to be there to answer that question. So they want to put everything up front. And it's like, no. You want them to make the phone call. You want them to walk away with questions in their minds so that they can ask a question, so that they can call you and go, hey, you know what? I want to know. You don't want an infographic in a print thing, or you don't want, a presentation slide that has, three paragraphs of stuff that nobody's going to read in less than 3 seconds.
That's certainly what some some clients is one, they see how much a market ad buy can cost and they're like, no, I want to put all my message on one because that's all I want to splurge on at the moment, but it's right. going to, you know, do you a disservice. And that's where, you know, the budgeting and planning and thinking a little longer before you're putting your message out comes real in handy.
Well, to that sure. point, that's where a really good copywriter comes in, is how to write it to in a way that it's going to evoke a question. It's going to evoke an action. And so that's key. But again, the good copywriter is not going to be able to get to that message if you're not honest about who you are and what you are and the narrative.
Yeah. Like for example, great. These slides made for the presentation, we reduced mm-hmm. it down tremendously to tagline, get your attention, and then a couple key bullet points that you can absorb in a matter of seconds. But, you know, then we have to talk over and explain in more detail, you know, the detailed stuff, but we tease you with the simple slides and keep moving on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Case in point. Nice work, guys, putting this together. All right. So now that we see like piquing our clients or customers' curiosity, that's a key thing, regardless whether it's copy or design. Let's look at another topic here. Sorry. So accessibility and consistency is good design. Dan, why don't you start with this one and tell us what you're thinking here?
So easy to read message clearly shown goes back to the less is more. The less copy you have with a short, clear message makes it easier for anybody, no matter how small their attention span is, to basically absorb your message and get, you know, snippet, you know, implanted in their head to think about and maybe come back and be like, oh, we saw this product, super brief glance. What information did they grab from that in a short glance, or if, you know, however long the attention they had on your ad or on your post. And I've come across it just on some things where if you do the simple images and posts, but you have a completely different style, like not a brand guidelines of like three or four colors you use, or all sorts of different photography and art styles that go along with your copy, it's just not going to stick in somebody's brain. So it's, you know, more of repetition, short, succinct messages definitely become most effective, because anybody with long attention spans, short attention spans, if they're doom scrolling on Instagram, you know, they'll see your consistent color scheme and it sticks. It really does. I don't know what the psychology terms are for that, but it definitely is effective to keep things short and keep them consistent style-wise and color-wise, can be very important.
So can I jump in?
Yeah, please go for it.
One of the things I always love, and I know I know we've all seen that Helvetica movie, or if we haven't, you know, check it out. It's a good movie. But one of the reasons why some of these simple fonts, these sans serif fonts, read so well is because it's easier and faster for us to read. It's one of the reasons why these fonts have taken off. I mean, let's face it. You look at some of these fonts, and they're very straight. There's nothing to them. They're not that fancy. And so you can tell, you know, when somebody's going off the rails, when they start mixing up. I mean, you said it. You touched on it for a brief second. That's the only reason I want to shine on it a little bit. I've seen comps where they have four or five different fonts in there, huge weights. And they're doing it because they think, oh, I'm going to break it up a little bit. I'm going to mix it up because, you know, I want to make this kind of real creative. And it's like, no, all right, first off, in doing that, you're making it harder for the person to read a simple line or two sentences, two lines. You know, how many times have we seen, you know, a two-line headline? No, that's nothing. You know, hey, we got three in the slide right here, you know, but they're easy to read. And it's not something, yeah. I mean, you breeze through it in a second, you know, and
well, it's,
when you
it certainly comes. Sorry.
No, go ahead. What do you say?
It certainly comes up in websites, and the longer I've worked with certain clients, it's a point I drove down early on, but after a couple of years with them, they're calling me out when I, have too many different font weights or different things. Right. But I was like, well, you guys gave me the pitch deck with five different points, and there were certain emphases I thought had to be more on these than others, but they're like, no, let's keep them consistent. So I guess the lessons stuck to the whole teams over the course of a couple of years, but.
But also the thing that I think a lot of people miss on that is that consistency is also a voice. It's your voice to your brand. And so if I were talking to you like this and not a voice, and I was all over the place, you'd be like, dude, I'm out. I think you're having some kind of seizure, and I kind of, you might want to talk to a doctor about that. You would rather have someone talk with consistency and be straightforward with you. And so the same thing goes for your creative or your video or your graphics. Be that voice of consistency. We like something that we can rely on, and that's what consistency really is.
No, I mean, I agree with everything you guys are saying. Obviously, I think to build on that, it's trusting your brand, right? If they don't know you, first impressions are everything. So yes, have the interesting visual. Yes, have the key tagline and the key value proposition right there and ready to grab to pique their curiosity. But if everything doesn't look connected and it seems disconnected, they won't trust your brand. And then they may or may not go to the forum and fill out the information to set up a meeting with you or, go through your lead gen process. So I definitely 100% agree with you guys. All right. So this makes sense. We've gone through simplicity is key, right? Accessibility, consistency is good design. We've kept it pretty broad here just in general, right? But what I'd like to do now is kind of go off screen in the sense, like stop sharing for a second. And let's just have a conversation about, what we're seeing with what we can do in terms of like, maybe not do, but when let's talk a little bit about animation and, everyone wants their marketing and their site and the at banners, whatever we're building to be more interactive, right? And from a marketing perspective, why do you do that? Because you want to draw their eye to something that's focused on page intent or focused on maybe the button you want them to click on, the CTA, right? So animation's amazing, but I'd love to hear both of your perspectives on A, when is animation always a good idea? And then B, when is animation not a good idea? And, from a like advisory perspective, whenever a client is approaching you saying, hey, I want to animate this page. What can we do to bring this to life, right? What are the first things you think about? And like, what's the initial conversation look like with the client when it comes to that stuff?
If their first idea is, let's make this whole page animated, all these sections, first question is why? I mean, just because they like animations and they think it's cool. But if it's almost the same thing as lap back, the less is more. You got a whole page animating copy, rotating images, parallax stuff on your websites. It's overwhelming. So just goes back to that main point, less is more. So it's keeping things subtle. Maybe just intro animations on a web per, as a website example, for those things. So it's not overdoing it for sure. So you usually got to walk them back off of doing too many animations. But that's more or less focused on just website per se. But me and Jason have done hundreds of thousands of banners. And that's a different story.
My favorite story along that line, and I'm gonna digress for just a moment, please. But we were doing this banner ad, and we were going to have some was it leaves or butterflies? It was butterflies that were going to fly through the screen. You remember this one, Dan? The butterflies are supposed to fly through the screen and reveal. And the creative came in, and they were like, I forget what it was. They said they want him to be happy yet intuitive butterflies, They're happy, intuitive butterflies. They know better. And you can tell by the way they flap their wings. And Dan called me up and he's like, yo, man, we're going to have to get some interpretive dances on this one because I do not know what intuitive butterfly flapping is. And I was like,
I mean, all right, if they provided us with like a bug expert and an animator from Pixar, we might have been able to do exactly whatever was in their mind's eye. They couldn't even end up
for a 15-second spot.
Yeah, it was too little. Whereas the majority of the banner ads we did was super simple text reveal, but the text always revealed the same way per the client's brands.
Right.
So again, it was back to the same, all these slide points, consistency and less is more. I mean, it might've been 3 frames and the text just folded in and that was it. But,
you don't need an intuitive butterfly to do that. You can just simply do a simple fade in and fade out. Honestly, that's really the cool thing about it. It's come on, send a message. What's your message? If your message is simple, click me, honestly, that's all I wanted to do. Yeah. I just want to let you know I'm here again today. I'm here again tomorrow. I was here yesterday. I'm going to be here again. Here I am again. Click me. And that's it. I know it sounds, it doesn't sound creative. It doesn't sound, all that luster and flash and sexy, but know what you're doing. If you're doing a huge presentation, you're revealing something for the very first time, well then, all right, you might want to go into an interpretive dance. Sure, go for it. But if you're doing, a simple message and you want somebody to click through again, then do that. If you're informing someone about a medical procedure, you're not going to really focus on what the doctor's wearing. You're going to focus on what is the message, don't touch this, or, if this shows up, yeah, you might want to go talk to your doctor. You want to be something like that. I know I'm boiling it down too simple, and forgive me if I'm watering it down too much, but yeah, no. we've heard, way too many the other way.
Well, that brings us to an interesting point though. And then all of us were discussing this very recently, right? When it comes to what information you need, design related information, or even like marketing intent, we all have creative briefs we use, right? And that's just a list of questions that we need checked off to throw into our creative process and build all the things a client imagines, right? As much as we can that feasibly makes sense, right? But in terms of that, what are like some key things that you would tell a client in order to make sure that the information they're giving you is actually going to be able to help you? Case in point, your interpretive dance butterflies, right? What information, in cases like that, or even just in general, right? What are some, maybe there's lots of questions we can ask, but 3 things that you have to have from a client whenever they're asking us to either A, completely create a new design based on an idea, or 2, animate an existing design we put together. What are 3 things that you look for that would just help you really put that into the creative flow and, build something amazing?
I think Dan said it earlier, with sort of like not necessarily going and get an actual bug expert, but the find something that find something that that you like, and it can be, it could just be, a video clip of leaves falling. And it's like, I like the way these leaves fall and I like the way they flutter and they glisten. I want to try and incorporate that into butterflies. That's it. I'm not going to try and do this into, verbal speak and waste 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rounds of revisions that I'm still just grumpy with, when all I really wanted is I just want this kind of flutter action. I like that. I don't know what it is I like about it, but I like that. Great. Thank you. That just solved, I've got to try and mirror this with that. Okay, let me start. And that takes a huge edge off of the animation curve.
Yeah, a lot with any of the design stuff, if a client, one, is hiring you for creative services, but but hasn't even thought about, you know, hasn't taken a breath themselves and taken a seat and thought about it themselves, you're going to be starting with some really vague abstract ideas that they might have. Or, you know, in the best case, like he's saying, give us, I mean, usually what I say is, you know, are there any examples of what you like or what you don't like? Because usually there's something that started this thought in their head to improve, you know, their design or start making animation. Like they obviously saw something that piqued their interest. You know, please, please give that to your designers. You know, don't have them, you know, they got their own things they like, but if you got something you want to more or less borrow and adapt to yours, definitely give that to your designers and we will very much appreciate it and make the project start off on a very good foot.
And absolutely. It sounds like, go ahead, please.
Especially, you know, especially that point that you just made, Dan, about the fact that even if it's something you don't like, if it's something you want to walk away from, that's huge too. I mean, you know, it's not just being negative. It's just about, you know what? We did this before. We went down that rabbit hole. Yeah, we don't want to go there. We want to step away from it. Oh, okay. Because an animator might be like, hey, you know, I've seen these guys before. They like a lot of this. No, we really want to move away from that. So it's okay to be like, you know what? Yeah, anything but blue. I'm good. Anything but blue. Or, you know, I don't want to see this kind of reveal or this kind of transition. Oh, okay. That's fine. That's good too. That's not being negative. That's fine. That's telling me where the thin ice is. Okay. That's great.
I mean, that's part of the intro too. I mean, you're what we're doing is as designers, you're looking at your, we need to see who your competitors are. We certainly don't want to get called out for just mimicking a competitor that's so close to you and, you know, just taking their design animation stuff and putting our own color on it. So it's all, there's a lot of research that goes into it before even the first idea comes to us or back to the client. So.
Right. It also could be like something simple, like, you know, you might have a simple tagline, presto, it's us. And people are like, oh, okay. Let me do something with the magic of, you know, I'll reveal, you know, I'll pull something out of a hat, presto, you know? And they're like, yeah, no, we've done that. We don't want to go that way. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, with presto, I mean, you see where I naturally went with that. It's like, oh, we don't, that's a killer. Tell us that you don't, tell us what you want to walk away from, you know? Yeah, our tagline is presto, it's us, but you know what? We really want to come with something different. Everybody's done the magic hat. Okay, then that simple lead allows us to not go down that rabbit hole and get a head start and moving on something that's definitely going to move in the direction that you want to see.
It sounds like it having like a quick, even not necessarily like a full out design workshop, but having like a very free flowing, but focused on what we're looking at brainstorming session, even if it's like 15 minutes, depending on how many examples a client can think of. It feels like we all have the briefs, right? You say, drop in the examples, tell us why you like them. If you like this website and this section of, you know, this page, why do you like it? Right. So having that conversation, instead of having it just written out or having a form filled out, have a conversation about it, because then the expressiveness of the client being able to explain it or even just share it, just like we are talking now as a group, would be so much more valuable than just filling out a form, because you can get that context. You can get the emotion. You can get why they love it, why they don't. You can see their facial expressions, right? If they're cringing as they show it to you, you know, that you get like absolutely do not do that. So it sounds like the quick session is a way to go. Have a quick chat like this, keep it human, keep it personal, but, you know, really get the intent of the design out there.
Right.
Sound about right?
And yeah, exactly. And also use, you know, positive speak, you know, ideas, again, ideas are fragile things, you know, and, you know, people working in the creative environment, you know, not to say, you know, oh, we've got to cater to, no, it's not that. It's like all ideas are good ideas, you know. Not everything floats, you know, but that's okay. And for those things that don't float, well then, what do they need for float? You know, do we really want to make them float? Is there something that we're really attached to? We want to make this float somehow. Okay, that's a direction too. But it's not, you know, that sucks. You know, you don't want to be,
yeah,
you don't want to be a jerk about it.
Definitely. I mean, it sounds like taking the time to have that, even a short initial conversation, can save so much time down the road, right? With all, like,
absolutely key.
We've all been in those supposed to be three rounds of edits or two rounds of edit, and you're on like round 10 and we're like, not quite there. What is it? What is it we're missing? Right. So just having the quick chat, as it will, as it were, would just, you know, save you so much time.
Yeah. I just recently worked on that. Oh, sorry, Dan, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're far enough along in our career. Our short tempers for clients not digging, you know, our first round of designs, you know, we don't get so upset about it anymore. But, you know, when you're young and starting out, you take things a little more personally than you should, especially in your professional environment. Just take a deep breath. listen to them, and don't get upset if they're, you know, poo-pooing on your first few rounds. But you know, some clients will go those 24 rounds, some will go one, and that's just how it's going to go for the rest of, for everyone. But
I think some really good points. Go ahead.
I think it's one of the things you were saying about having those brief moments in the beginning where you spend 15 minutes. It could just be simple 15 minutes. Could be more. It could be less, but you take that time to go over the beginning stuff. And really try to get into what it is that's underneath that you really want to sell. I just recently worked on a project. You know, we're talking about different rounds and revisions, and you're like wondering what's going on. I was called in on a project, and my first time looking at it, I realized we were at round 11, and I was like, ooh, all right. But it was still in the creative stage. I'm like, all right, so all right, you guys might have gone some different directions. Okay, what's going on? And so I started looking at it. And the first thing I noticed right off the bat is I just looked at the specs. You know, it's like, what are we building? What size is it supposed to be? And I realized the thing was totally built to the wrong size. And it was built to the wrong size at round 11. And I was like, hey, are these right or are the specs right? Which one's right? Did something change? Did I miss something? And they're like, oh shit, this is the wrong size. And I'm like, all right, well, I can rebuild it. And we just moved on from there. Now, granted, we went from 11 to 15 and got it released, but it was still, it's like, ooh, we found out at round 11, it was the wrong size. So yeah, getting people to your clients to really pay attention and read it and get them to engage in a positive way. So they don't feel like, oh, man, it looks good. It looks good. And it's like,
go do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, all right. You know, pay attention. I mean, you know, because we don't want to waste money. We don't want to waste time, you know, and we want to deliver a good product. And so, sometimes holding the client to task as far as, are you paying attention to, did you really read the brief? Did you really tell us, you know, what you wanted? Even though you know, if you do it in a positive light and you bring them to their end of the task, it's still a positive thing and it solves so much things. I even had clients come up to me afterwards and like, oh my God, thank God that you just noticed that one thing. Cause if we just let that go, I'm like,
I mean, I think it's honestly from, if you think about it, if you take a step back and look at all the different processes and things a business has to do, no matter what product or service you sell, right? My perspective is the creative part, most fun, right? It's the most fun. And that can be applied in different ways. Maybe like an operational perspective, there's something creative there, right? Maybe the finance perspective, you know, hopefully it's not creative accounting because that'd be scary, but it's something creative there, right? So whatever it is that's creative in the department, in the space, in the task we're in, I feel like pulling that process out. I mean, luckily we do a lot of work with marketing teams, right? So I'm impartial, obviously. I think marketing is the most fun, but pull out the creative process from both sides. It's not just the client side. It's not just our side, excuse me. It's a client side. Draw them in,
right.
Get them excited, because that part, if you're not having fun in what you're doing, regardless of what it is, you got to take a step back and be like, wait, why am I not having fun? Why am I not excited about this? You know? So I think you guys brought up some really good points and just really engaging with clients and getting them to see, yes, the creative side and get all that, you know, the information out of their heads and onto something that's tangible that you can work with. But looking, you know, at the tactical stuff too, like, is the sizing right? Is the goal right? Are we still looking at the same messaging? Are we still trying to do the same thing? You know, like really right. looking at the brand intent and marketing intent is huge. So right. I think a lot of really good points. To wrap things up, because I know we're wanting to, you know, put something together for everyone to think about. The four major points really we wanted to talk about and just recapping everything is you don't know how to move forward if you don't know where you are, right? Figure out what's going on first, really get a nice baseline and groundwork going and then build from there. Less can be more in every perspective, whether it's copywriting, design, animation, but really focus on your intent and build from there as well. Accessibility and consistency is good design. You want to encourage people to trust your brand and trust your product and trust you as the providers of everything. So that translates to, yeah, that translates to everything. Absolutely. And there's actually one more that we didn't quite touch, but we can bring it up anyway. Quality over quantity. So in considering the photography side of things, we have design, we have animation, photography, you know, what does that really take into account? You know, like you really want to look at how the images affect your brand identity. It's usually quality over quantity. You always think about that in general, but are your images really connected to your messaging or are they random? How does it make sense, right? Still going back to the consistency piece for design, photography is a huge part, you know? And then why should you always look for quality images? Why is it better to try to create something custom if you can? You know, I think you want to stand out. You want to leave a lasting impression with your client, but then you also want them to think about something as they're seeing it. Like think about how your messaging connects you to your photography and just have the whole thing tie together. Just like if you're in an art gallery and you're looking at an exhibit and there's 15 photographs next to each other, you're like, how are they connected? I don't know. You know, like there has to be some sort of theme, some sort of consistency, some sort of pull, whether it's style, color, intent, subject, whatever that looks like, right? So I know we didn't talk too much about that. Hopefully we can pull that out in another session and really expand on that a little bit. But just, you know, working together with your creative teams and giving them as much information as you can and really making the process fun and exciting so we can come in and, you know, build magical things for your brand and really drive customers where you want, drive customers to do what you want them to do and look at what you want them to look at. So I think that's it. You guys, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And we look forward to talking to you again.